Welcome in, everyone, to episode 5 of Who's Together podcast. I am your co-host, Lauren Moses, here with bestie
Quinn Blanding, and I'm in the car with it today.
Got to change up the scenery just a little bit, but we are happy this week, Quinn, right? Because we got a win. We're going to be talking about UVA football. We're going to be talking about some of the things that I've been hearing just, you know, in the comments and just in general in the college sports world of just misconceptions of athletes. Yeah. And then Quinn got to chat it up with a former teammate.
I did. It was great. It was good. And, you know, we'll tell you a little bit about it later. We're just going to say we chopped it up with a former alumni that's doing very well right now for himself. So we're gonna get to that in a little bit. But yeah, so now let's get into this episode today. You know,
do it.
Like you said, you've been reading the comments and, you know, this misconception of like a college athlete. Let's start on your take of it, because I mean, of course, you know, you played basketball at UVA, and you know, women's basketball is kind of looked upon. It's kind of like downplayed, and it's not really supported to the way it should be. When you're not at like the elite level, like playing at like the elite level, winning championships and all that, et cetera. So like, what is your thoughts on that? And I mean, from the comments you've been reading, I know we talked about it, but what are some of like the comments and like, how do you feel about it?
Yeah. So like in regards to your first point, being a female athlete in general, you know, whatever sport that a woman is playing, it's usually just not highly regarded as the men's sport. And so from that aspect, I just can't remember when I was playing at UVA, and it was just like this conception that we don't do as much as the men do, even though our programs, whether that was lifting, whether that was conditioning, whether that was treatments, practice schedules, we ran our practices, like literally the guys would start practice, or they would go into practice and we have already started practice. They would come out of practice and we're still practicing. And they would be like, you guys like practice for 3 hours? And it's like, yeah, we do. We do all of the same work as the men, which I think obviously comes into conversations when you talk about salary pay gaps and things like that on the professional level between men and women. But in general, I feel like misconceptions that college athletes get, especially at the University of Virginia, is like, they don't care about academics, or they don't understand how important academics is because their sport is first and da 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 da. But I feel like at Virginia, we were always held to the standard of academics comes first.
Absolutely.
In my household, I had to make sure that I had great grades in order for me to even attend a practice, let alone play a game. For you, Quinn, can you remember any misconceptions as a football player? Because that even adds in like a little wrinkle, because, you know, a lot of people say that football players don't care about academics.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I get it. And, you know, it's just that notion of just saying, you know, I'm going to play college ball to make it to the NFL. That's everyone's livelihood, is to say, you know, as a kid growing up, you know, you train all these hours since whatever age you started, or even if you started later than most, you know, the dreams is just going to play in the NFL, and like, no one has a plan after the NFL. No one ever thinks about what I want to do after the NFL. Everyone's just saying, oh, I'm going to go to the NFL. I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to start this business, start that business, you know, X, Y, and Z. And so, you know, that misconception there is just like, you know, we're just jocks. Like, we're just people who, you know, just want to play, you know, a barbaric sport and just say, hey, it is what it is. I'm going to get paid for doing what I love to do. And so, you know, that's just, you know, that's what it comes with the territory. Yeah. You know, it comes with the territory. And but, you know, for me, it's just like, you know, I'm glad that I went back my junior year or my senior year and got my degree, because now it landed me in places that like, I never knew I could be.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in medical sales. Like, I never thought in a million years I'd be here. So I thought, like, you know, most, you know, I'm going to play in NFL for a long time. I'm going to make a lot of money. I'm going to get that, you know, monthly check for being, you know, passing those 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, just to get my benefits. But it's just like, I'm blessed that I've changed that narrative of just being an athlete.
Yeah.
But I think that's what it comes down to. It's just in your mind, it's just all you know is sports, sports, sports.
And that brings me to my next point, because you can't fault someone for feeling that way if that's all they know, especially people who might not have had a great support system coming up and they are just thrown into a sport or thrown into an activity and they're told you need to go out and be the best at this thing so that you can make money at some point and, you know, make a living for yourself. So, you know, when it comes to judgment, I just always feel like you don't know what people's what people have gone through. You don't know what their upbringing was like. But I think that the University of Virginia was a great space for, if you didn't know that going into it, there was someone in your ear telling you like, hey, you're more than this athlete. You're more than this game. You're more than this sport.
To that point, it's how you take it too as an athlete. You know, we get judged a lot regardless. I mean, especially going to the University of Virginia, you know, they just think we got in because we were just talented, to play a sport. But we have to be talented, but we also have to have the grace to get into the University of Virginia.
Yes.
I've sat behind the scenes of recruiting and seen, you know, what we can get in into that university. And I've seen what we can't get in. Even if you have all the talents in the world, I've seen, you know, you still have to have a certain level of academics to get into the school.
And just like regular students, like you can't just have good grades and not have anything else on your, like from high school, no community service or no extracurricular activities or no story, right? Because you still have to write letters, you still have to write essays, and you're still putting something else forward aside from your grades. And as an athlete, we're still doing that. We're doing it in raising money for this university. And so obviously you can go back and forth all day about it, but I just think that there are so many misconceptions about college athletes and just, like you said, kind of just being jocks, some of them. And don't get me wrong. Sure. There are people who do not care about academics, athletes who don't. But I don't think I don't think it should be something to knock athletes for.
I don't think so either, because you got to think, these people spend more than 1,000 hours. You know, I'm just saying 1,000 hours because it's easy just to say 1,000 hours.
Yeah,
it's times 10 of that hours, times 1,000 of those hours. Like, we've been doing this since we were young kids.
It's always going to be taken differently because of perspectives, right? Everybody's perspective's different. If you have never been able to wear this person's shoes, I don't know how you can speak so much about it and be so passionate about it. But we have better news and better things to talk about, because we got a win this week. UVA football. Let's clap it up.
Ooh. I was scared at first.
UVA football. Well,
I was scared at first.
So UVA football is now 3-4. They had a okay offensive, okay, you know, special teams, but their defense, defense recording 8 sacks. So that total surpassed the program history. And they beat Georgia Tech 16-9. And you started off saying that you were scared at first. What were you scared about?
It got rough in the beginning. I mean, you know, we had, because I think they were up at one point on us, I think. And early in the game,
it was an interception.
Yeah, pick six. And it was like they threw a pick, we threw a pick. You know, they threw a pick, we threw a pick six. And it's like, here we go. And it's like, but it's only like, it's like, you were just like, man, like, what is going on? Like, it's just, it wasn't adding up. It wasn't making sense. I think personally, like, I think we did have an improvement. But I don't think we are still where we need to be. I think, like, defense-wise, like, I give those guys credit. They played their tails off. They played with energy. They started to find the identity. I don't think it's truly there yet as a defense, but it's coming. Because, you know, we look at Georgia Tech. I mean, I know they were coming off a 2-game winning streak. They played tough against some opponents. I think they beat Duke, who we lost to. And so, you know, just seeing how they are, you know, but it's just like, mano y mano, we're better. Like, at the end of the day, we're better than, you know, what we truly showed and played with. And so I think that's the part I'm really sad about, is because, like, we literally, like, were mano a mano with them.
Yeah.
Like, we played down to their level. I
Yeah.
wanted to see us really, like, open our offense up, like, have our defense play how they play, but go a little step further. Like, I mean, yeah, we had 8 sacks, but, you know, get into the real logistics of things. You know, their offensive line was terrible. You know, they were playing with, like, I don't know what backup quarterback. He's been to like 20 different schools, I feel like, at this rate. But it's just like, you know, then I seen a press conference after, for that last play, he ran out of bounds. The
Georgia
quarterback
Tech
said,
quarterback.
yeah, Georgia Tech's quarterback, when he ran out of bounds, he said, I couldn't even throw it past 60 yards. Like, so, you know what I mean? I
Yeah.
expected us to, like, kind of, once I seen their starting quarterback go down, which he's really good. I like him as a quarterback there for Georgia Tech, and I think he's, you know, changing that program around. But I thought we was just gonna go in and we was just gonna steamroll. Like,
Yeah.
you know what I mean? It's just one of those games you look forward to, like, going to the season. Like, you know they're gonna play tough, but it's like,
I think it's baby steps, right?
yeah.
Like
And you know, I, you know, me as an alumni, as
you're
a, I, you know, I put a lot of pressure on
like
it.
tough love. I don't
Tough,
care.
yeah, tough love. Let's go. Let's get it going, because I think, you know, when it comes down to that, it's like, yeah, we can take baby steps. And I know this is a rebuild year, and I support the rebuild year. I mean, hey, Tony Elliott, you know, came in and he's 3-4 right now. We still have more games to go. But I mean, it was more than Mendenhall came in his first year. It's 3-4. You know, we were 2-10. So at least it's one game better. So that's the baby step right there, is one game better.
And they
But
still
now
have
when
five more to go.
that's what I'm saying. And so now when we get there, it's like, yeah, we gotta rip this little band-aid off and
No.
we gotta go. It's not like, you know, this is really gonna determine the rest. Like, not even say, like, you know, the rest of the games are gonna determine how we identify ourselves is. Cause I mean, Miami comes in next week. They took a loss, and so could Duke. And so it's now it's like, okay, Miami's not good.
Turning, this is the turning point for sure.
Is. And I believe it's, let's rip the band-aid off. There's no more, like, you know how your parents are like, you know, let's get them to walk it. No, let stand them up, and he's either gonna walk or they're gonna fall. How do you want to be? And that's what it comes down to. And like we talked about last episode, is like, if you get punched in the mouth, are you gonna fall or you gonna fight back? Now it's time to fight back at this rate. And we gotta show that. Like, I give them credit. We won the game. I'm happy of those guys. I'm proud of those guys. But now it's time to go. It's, you got that taste of winning. Let's go. Let's keep it going now.
And that's what Brennan Armstrong said after the game. He said, hopefully, I don't know if hopefully would have been a word I would have chose, but he said, hopefully it catapults us into the rest of the season. And we talked about it a couple episodes ago, I want to say, about his record setting
Yeah.
throw, which
Yeah.
I can't remember what number we were at back then, but he
It
has
was,
passed.
yeah, it was like 56, 55 or
Yeah,
something. He was
okay. So he's
crying.
at, yeah, he's
Yeah.
at 57 now. So
He's
he
leading. That's
now
good. That's
leads.
huge.
Exactly. So kudos to him. Kudos to the football team for getting a win. I will say, to add on to what Quinn is talking about, is just it needs to be cleaned up. It's
Yeah.
like everyone is just doing their own thing at different moments of the game, and you're like, yay. And then you're like, what the hell? Like, it's just
It don't make
so much
sense
of
right
a,
now.
yes, it's so much of a roller coaster. Like,
Yeah.
it's kind of insane. But again, this is a first year under a new head coach. We are a team that is growing, learning, trying to play hard. I will say that they are trying to like play really hard. It gets
Now
them in
they are.
trouble sometimes.
Now
A lot of
they're playing hard now.
yes,
Now.
this game gets
Today.
them in
Oh,
trouble sometimes.
that game they
That game.
played, that game they played hard.
Yes.
They played hard.
But yeah, like I was saying, gets them in trouble sometimes, but this is the time to turn it around. Family
And
weekend
go.
in Charlottesville versus Miami. What are they gonna have to do?
We have to play hard-nosed football, and we're gonna have to play like we never played before, because Miami's coming off of a loss to Duke. They're not playing so well either over there, and so
And they are prone to turning over. They can be turned over pretty well. So if our
yeah.
defense, I think they had eight in their game against Duke, eight
Yeah.
turnovers. So if our defense can bring just an ounce of what they brought for Georgia Tech
That's it.
plus some,
That's it. But
can cause
even
some
that,
trouble.
it's just we have to play on offense. Like, as a defense, you know, a defensive player as myself, you know, we only can stop with so many touchdowns. I
Yes.
mean, the other team is on scholarship. The other team is there for a reason. And so we as a defense, you know, keep balling, keep playing hard. You know, it's going to be tough, but you got to limit points. I mean, we've been doing that, which is good, but we just got to continue to limit points. But now when we get to offense, we got to play offense. We have to score. Like, we're in the red zone. I can't even think how many times we were in the red zone last game, and I don't even want to count because it was disgusting. And then on top of that, we got to score for one. And then on top of that, our kicking game has to get
Has
better.
to improve.
It has to get better. Like, I get it. You know, it's just your job. You make field goals. Like, you know, I'm not blaming you for anything, you know,
But
but
everyone has a job, and everyone's job is
everyone
equally
has a
important.
job, and you have to execute your job at the highest ability no matter what.
Virginia's win over Georgia Tech at Georgia Tech was the first since 2008. So there are a lot of good things about this win that I think that they need to hold on to go back home, because like we said, they have five games left of their season. Four of those five games are at home. They are not proud of the way that they played against Louisville. Nobody is proud about that game. So they have four chances to really put on a show and just dominate and have crazy experiences in Scott. Like, man, there have been so many great experiences, like as a fan in Scott Stadium, when y'all are like clicking
It's fun. Like,
that
it
they
makes me
have not been
curious.
able to experience yet under Coach Elliott. And you don't want to wait until his second year. I mean, you know, you can wait until a second year
No,
too, but
you
you don't
don't.
want to do that. Like, you don't want this entire season to go by and not have an amazing winning experience in Scott Stadium with those amazing fans. You don't.
You don't, because it's just at the end of the day, like, going back to like the Minute Hall like era. I know I played 2 years, but I played 2 years from like London, in that stop. And so,
Ooh.
like,
Give me
yeah, we were
chills.
good on offense, but like, our defense had the identity. Like, my first 2 years, we were a top 10 defense. Like, we were balling on defense. Our offense, yeah, we couldn't get the weapons we needed to score, which is okay. Like, you know, whatever. We get to the follow, you know, the next 2 years. My junior year, we go 2-10. But I promise you, they feared us as a defense because we was playing from the first quarter to after the game. We were ready to fight somebody. And like, those memories there is what we need to be like. I think it's too calm. It's like, we're too calm now. Like, we're too like.
But it's the football team's job to get people amped up, right? Because if it wasn't for what y'all were doing out in the field and what you even it didn't even turn always turn into wins. Like, some of the hardest fought games didn't turn into wins during those, especially during those last 2 years, right? So it's like, give the fans something to go crazy about, because when you do, they will not stop going crazy every
Oh,
single week.
they won't at all. And I promise you, they love me because they knew what I was gonna do. Like, I ain't gonna turn up, and I don't care if we lose it. I'm gonna let you know I'm there, and I'm still fighting. But you know, we're gonna see next weekend. Well, this weekend coming up, and you know, I'm excited to be there back at Scott Stadium. I haven't been there all season, so I'm gonna go down. I'm gonna watch it, have fun.
It's lit.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna get
Well, we
ready.
got to get into this interview, right? Because you talked to the Lamide Zaccheaus
Yes, we did.
of
Yes, we
the
did.
Atlanta Falcons, former University of Virginia wide receiver. How'd that go?
It was great. And I think you're gonna learn a lot. Everyone knows O doesn't speak a lot, but you know, he's really like a brother to me. You know, we've always joked around, talked, but he's done my other podcast too as well, that I have on my own. But you know, it's just good to see, you know, people still grinding, still shining, and just getting the light of just understanding how it is in the NFL. Just understand it's still a grind. Like, no matter what, like, yeah, you made it. Like, you know, he's going on his fourth season, you know, and so that's kudos to him, but it's still a grind. Like, people don't understand that. People just think, oh, you know, once you get past like year one, it's just like, oh, you know, I don't really gotta work. Like, no, you gotta work. It's a dog fight every day. And so talking to him was great. And, you know, I'm just glad that, you know, he was able to do it. And, he always comes through for me. So it's always great to have a relationship there with, you know, a former athlete. So it was great. So you guys, you know, stay tuned. We're going to get into that interview right now.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest today. One of our own, our alumni, our brother from another mother. My guy, Olamide Zosquillas.
My boy, Quinn, thank you for having me.
Yes, no, we'd love to have you. We want to just give you your flowers. I know a lot of podcasts are doing it now. We want to sure give you your flowers for, you know, not only going to a prestigious university, but being able to further your career and playing in the NFL for, what, 4 years now, I think, going on? Yep, going on 4 years now, and it's just a blessing, and we want to give you, you know, your flowers while you're still here and just everything that's going on in your career. But today, we just wanted to touch bases with you. We wanted to see how you're doing, you know. Have you been watching UVA football? You know, what's going on in O's world? I will say I do hate how the announcers say your name. Like, I get mad every week watching Atlanta play because they don't know how to say your name right still. But, you know,
they still fuck it up. They mess it up.
So it's just like, it is what it is at this rate. But, you know, for starters, you know, of course we've been having a rocky year. But just so far, what are your thoughts on it? Like, how do you feel the season is going, and what are your thoughts on UVA football right now?
So, from what I've seen, I haven't watched every game, but I've seen the early ones, and then I watched some of it last night. And I think there's a common theme of what's going on. It's just like self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah.
Self-inflicted wounds. You know, turnovers. Turnovers mainly, you know, drop passes, penalties.
Yeah.
Penalties killing us. So I think, you know, it's just we gotta lock in on those things, especially when we get in the red zone and stuff, when we're trying to score. We can't be having those mishaps.
Yeah, so it's good that I think that we have an offensive person up here, because right now our offense is a little rocky, struggling a little bit. You being in Atlanta, which is ironic, our offensive coordinator was from Atlanta. Sure. And so, you know, we've seen what he done, you know, he's done in the NFL, and now we're seeing what he's doing at UVA. But going from just that standpoint, learning that offense from what he was doing in the NFL, now seeing it played out in college, and I mean, I know you guys put up points plenty of times in the NFL. Do you see any similarities from, like, what he's done in the NFL to college?
Yeah, for sure. When I was watching the game last night, I seen a very similar play. Almost the same thing. I said, oh, that's that right there. I know that play.
Yeah.
But, I know it's different. It's different to, mm-hmm. to NFL offense, for sure. And, like, it takes time to get used to. So, you know, there's going to be those growing pains, as you know, as we have. But I think you just got to keep working them out. Just keep trusting, you know, that the coaches, you know, have the best interest for, you know, the team and the offense. But I definitely know, like, especially at quarterback, it could be a lot at first. But you just got to keep working through it. Just trust it, and then it'll start to click.
So going from there, and I think this is a good segue to talk about, because you played with me my sophomore year, your freshman year, where we had Coach London, you know, a different offense, a different everything, coaching staff, everything. And then we happened to go into the following year with a new coaching staff. Everyone's brand new, and it's we go 2-10. And I know we still have some games to play left. You know, we have the opportunity to win out. But just what were your thoughts like going through that year of understanding, learning a new system again, even though you just came in from high school, learned a new system. Now you had to learn another new system. And then on top of that, we went 2-10. What was like the mindset behind it? Because I think right now, as we've seen, you know, our offense struggled a little bit that year where, you know, we would show glimpses of, you know, high power, you know, flashy, we're good. But then there was other times, like right now, and, you know, back in that time, too, we just didn't look like we were on one page. So like, what is the thoughts like, you know, being from kind of like a similar situation, being on offense?
Yeah, like I said, it's just like, there's just little nuances and things that you have to learn in the offense that you have to get used to, mm-hmm. you know, especially with a new coaching staff, they want things done a certain way.
Yeah.
And especially when you're still learning the offense, you know, you could be thinking about a lot of things. You know, you're thinking about, I have to read such and such or defense or whatever. And, you know, that can contribute to just thinking too much while you're on the line. It's like, what's the play? What do I have? And then jump off sides or false start or whatever. So I know it was an adjustment for a lot of people when we were there for sure. So I can imagine what it's like now, you know, for those guys there. Like, I'm sure it's the same for you on defense too. Like,
yeah.
it's a lot of new calls, a lot of new things that you have to, you know, that the coaches are asking of you. So it can be tough.
So now transitioning from that, like, let's just talk about your NFL career. You know, you've played with some pretty great people over there in Atlanta. So, like, tell me about your journey. I mean, I know it's been 4 years, but, you know, once you kind of pass that third year, you know, threshold, you're kind of considered a vet now. And so it's like you're one of the vets on the team. So, like, how has that career been? Like, how has the NFL been to you in your career?
It's been grimy, not like grimy in the sense of like, you know, kind of like shady, but just like just getting out the mud, man, like just working for everything. And, you know, had a coaching change 2 years ago. It's, you know, the same thing, learning new offense, learning new terms, terminology, different culture, different system. Like, but, you know, like you said before, it's a blessing, man. Like, it's something that you can't take for granted. It's something I don't take for granted. But it's been hard, bro. It's been hard. Like, but I love it though. You know, Coach Mendenhall molded us to love the hard thing.
Good. And I think that's very important to a lot of people that don't understand that came from like seeing Mike London, then going to Mendenhall and just seeing that difference in what he instilled in us. I mean, that's all we know. Like, I was walking outside the other day. It's like 30 degrees up here where I'm at. Like, I'm just like I said, oh, it's cold. Like, I can feel this cold. I walked outside. I'm like, this is nothing. Like, and I was on the phone. They were like, that's nothing. I done been in worse conditions. I'm not even worried about it.
Icicles on a goalpost.
That's the story I go back to every single time. And I was telling them, we had an indoor and our doors were still open. So it didn't even matter. Like, our doors were open to the indoor. It never made sense to me. But so with going on that, and like you said, you know, you mentioned that hard work and that, you know, hard things together kind of mentality that was instilled in us. How did UVA kind of play in that? Like, did UVA had a play in, like, building you as who you are now in your NFL career, or, like, or did it not? Like, and this is just, we just want the real. You know, we want to give the people the real, like, if it did, it did. If it did, it did it, you know?
It definitely did. It definitely did. Especially when Coach Mendenhall got there. Like,
yeah.
It's just – you just – like, I felt like I can attack anything. Like, you know, like, bro, it was hard, bro, every day. Every day was hard. So it's just like you said, like, your mindset just changed about everything. So, like – my mindset about everything, I can do anything. I can do anything. I feel like I can do anything. And, like, it just transitions not only in football, but, you know, life and, like, little things like the weather. Like it's not that cold.
Yeah.
Like, it might be 30 degrees or whatever, but it's not that cold. Like, I've been in way worse conditions doing way worse things. Like, but, like, it definitely carries over, you know. Like, and you can attest to it, too. Like, I'm sure. But it definitely carries over for sure. Sure.
So with that, you know, we don't want to keep you too long. I know you're busy. You know, I know you got to prepare for this weekend. Just two. Well, we got one more question. Then I want to do some like little fast round questions with you, just because you know me, I'm always good with sports. You know me, I'm good for that. So, me and O actually had the opportunity to do one of my own podcasts with QB Knows, and we had a ball doing. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? So,
Did I win?
You did not win. No, you did not win. Trust me. No one's beat that. But so going, like, you know, having a successful four-year career, you know, at UVA, had the opportunity. Now you're in your fourth year in the NFL, you know, successful, you know, still grinding, still doing what you got to do. What would be, like, a piece of advice you would give back to UVA as a team, you know, offense or, like, a receiver group? I mean, you can do whichever one you choose, or defense, too. I mean, you run against them every day. So what would be, like, one piece of advice that you would give them, like, to finish this season strong?
Adversity is a part of the journey.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of the journey. And, you know, you kind of have to embrace it. Like, don't shy away from it. Like, you know, we dealt with adversity, you know, in college. Like, I've dealt with adversity in the NFL, in my regular life. Like it's a part of the journey. That's what makes, you know, the success that much meaningful and that much more, you know, satisfying. It's like, you remember those tough times that you had, and it's like, you know, we pushed through that. Like, we pushed through that, and we found a way to get through it and get to the point that we are right now. So, like, that's the biggest thing. It's like, adversity is either going to break you or it's going to push you to another place that you've never been in your life, like, mentally, physically. So, like, that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing. And that, like, adversity shouldn't affect how you prepare or how you prepare for each week, your mindset towards each week. Like, it's just gotta be developed. Your will has to be developed. So, like, just embrace it. That would be my advice.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Straight like that from Olamide Zaccheaus. But before we go, I have five questions, right? And it's rapid questions. So it's like, boom, 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 boom. Like, first thing that comes to your mind, let's answer. All right?
All right.
All right, so the first question is, texting or talking?
Talking.
Okay. What's your favorite day of the week?
Monday.
Monday? What? Okay.
Yeah.
Favorite holiday?
Thanksgiving.
Okay. I got two more. Would you rather be able to speak every language or be able to talk to animals?
Speak every language.
Okay, now I think the question everybody wants to know, how long does it take you to get ready on Sundays?
Dang. Oh, my God. Like, 4 hours.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. But we want to thank you, you know, give you your flowers. You know, we want to just shine light on, you know, everyone that's came through this program, everyone that's come through UVA. So we definitely want to shine light on you and give you your flowers as well. I mean, you're doing an amazing job, so keep it up. Wake up every morning with drive. Been on the grind, know I had to survive. We had to win. Started from the dirt and the rubble. I had to be the needle that was popping your bubble, letting the air out. Walking.